I just want to say a big thank you to Scott and the awesome youth praise band. I really appreciate you guys. It just kind of came together at our youth retreat. Miley and Madison led worship for us, and then Matt and Jeremy joined in, and now we have a band. I want to tell you a funny story, unrelated first. I asked my siblings when I was writing this message what I should preach on, and my sister said something, and my brother Greg, who's over there with his fiance Brie, he was like, me, duh, because if you remember last time I got to preach, it was about Greg and Brie and how awesome he is, and he's like, me and Brie. Like, why wouldn't every single sermon that I preach be about him? And you are pretty awesome, Greg, but the theme today is service, to go along with our Mysticiny service trip. And so I wrote a sermon inspired by my sister, and it's called Be a Server, Not a Savior. So first, a joke for Aubrey, because he loves tennis. Aubrey, where is the first tennis match mentioned in the Bible?
Oh, I know that one.
Darn it, I thought it was a new one.
It was either Moses who served in Pharaoh's court or Joseph who served.
It was Joseph, because I'm speaking about Joseph. So Joseph who served in Pharaoh's court. Good job. But the message is, I want you to remember to be a server with hands open, not a server. So what actually does it look like to live with hands open? What does it look like to actually empty of ourselves and fill with more of Jesus and less of us? I think it looks like parents letting their kids travel over 1,000 kilometers in a newly post-COVID world to serve in a place they have never visited themselves, only for those same kids to be returned home to them with COVID, and for the youth leader of those kids to never hear one single complaint about it. It looks like a young man dressing up as a brown bean and dancing around his church to inspire the donation of nearly 3,000 cans of beans for an overburdened local food bank, and not to mention the hands who faithfully counted and delivered each can. It looks like a church raising funds for HIV/AIDS orphans in a country halfway around the world for 2 decades now. It looks like a teenager asking to pray for someone who disturbed our church service, and they said, isn't that what Jesus would do? It looks like someone visiting our church and hearing about a community called Mysticiny and pledging the funds to cover the cost of the trip 2 years in a row. And lastly, it looks like that same First Nations community trusting us, people from the same society who once took their children away, to come alongside them as brothers and sisters in Christ, walking hand in hand in reconciliation. And we can probably all agree that these are examples of getting service right, but what about when we get it wrong? Maybe you're like me and you have a heart for service, and you also have a mind for everyone to like you and to have no conflict, like, ever. Maybe that same tendency to be dreaded, a dreaded people pleaser, lends itself to living as a performer rather than a pupil of Christ. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Genesis 37, we're going to take a look at a servant we can learn from, the dreamer, the favorite son of Jacob, the wearer of the fancy coat, Joseph. So I'm sure you know this story, so I am going to go quite quickly through it, but there's a couple of truths that I would like you to grab hold of today and take with you. So we know the story of Joseph must be important because it takes up nearly half of the very first book of the Bible. It's the first time a foreigner has a role in the rulership of Egypt, the most powerful kingdom in the land, and Jesus is born through the lineage of one of Joseph's brothers, Judah. At the beginning of the story, God gives Joseph, who's 17 at the time, a dream for his life, not once, but twice. The dreams are about sheaves of grain and the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him. But before the Lord fulfills these dreams, Joseph struggles. His brothers throw him in a pit, plot to kill him, then end up selling him into slavery. And the Midianites who bought him sold him again to a man named Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh and a captain of the guard, the secret service of the biblical times. Potiphar is impressed by Joseph and entrusts him with running his whole household and taking care of everything he owns. God's favor. Then Joseph is thrown into prison through no fault of his own, and he's not just a lowly prisoner, he's the lowliest of prisoners, a servant to more privileged inmates. I'm going to read from Genesis 39, 21 to 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor with the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother him with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything that he did successful. Through it all, Joseph continued to find God's favor in his life. Joseph faithfully served two other prisoners, officers to the Pharaoh, the cupbearer and the chief baker, and interpreted dreams for them in the name of the Lord. At that time, there were teams of academics whose only job was to interpret dreams. You can picture like a dream detective agency, CSI, dreams, for members of the royal court to get their dreams interpreted. And it would usually take them weeks to gather evidence, research, and cross-reference meanings of dreams. But since the cupbearer and the chief baker were in prison, they didn't have access to this dream team, so they accepted Joseph's help. What did they have to lose? And Joseph accurately interpreted that the men would be released from prison, the cupbearer would find favor with the Pharaoh once again, and the baker would be sentenced to death. But before the cupbearer was released, Joseph pleads with him to tell Pharaoh about his unjust prison sentence, because after 11 years away from his family, he just wanted to go home. And he's now 28 years old. Here we see Joseph's faith wavers. He questions God's plan for his life and tries to use his years of service to get out of prison on his own merit. But the thing about God is, if he gives you a dream, he's going to bring it to fruition. It's his responsibility to see it through, while it's ours to walk faithfully without a timetable. The cupbearer forgets about Joseph until 2 years later when Pharaoh has an unsettling dream. During this time, Joseph faced two more years of horrible prison conditions, grueling servitude and punishment. But it is in these 2 years when Joseph does his most important work of all. His dependence on God grows. He is emptied of himself and in return is filled with God's grace. He learns to let go of performing and striving and instead become an instrument for God to fulfill his family's covenant promises and ultimately salvation through his brother Judah's line to Christ. Embracing grace gives you the freedom not to perform. Don't perform to earn grace. Perform for God because of grace. Because of the cupbearer's advice, Joseph is called to stand before the Pharaoh and interpret his dream. We see in chapter 41, Joseph lives out his role as a child of God, as a server, not a savior. Verse 15 says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said about you that you can hear a dream and interpret it. But Joseph said, I am not able to. It is God who will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. I am not able to. It is God who will give you a favorable answer. We do not serve alone. We serve a Savior who, by his grace, includes us in his story of redemption. We are instructed by Paul in Philippians to live from that grace, to adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied of himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. Philippians 2, 6 to 7. And I think we tend to forget that God doesn't actually need us, but he wants us. After being entrusted with Pharaoh's kingdom and keeping everyone in it from starvation, God fulfills Joseph's dream and his brothers bow down to him. But Joseph doesn't even get it right then. He throws his brothers into the slammer for 3 days, then releases them when he remembers God's faithfulness. Joseph says in chapter 42, verse 18, I fear God. Knowing God has reasons much bigger than revenge against his brothers, the fulfillment of his covenant promises. God is the faithful redeemer. He is redeeming moments of your story that are battered and broken, whether you are faithful or not. He always fulfills his promises. We can trust because his faithfulness reigns supreme. We can give of ourselves because he gave. We can serve because he saves. Embrace that grace in your lives today. Let's pray. Lord, nothing can thwart your plan. Thank you for your dreams you've given each person in this room, and help us to trust that you will fulfill them because your faithfulness is supreme. Help us to see your hand in our lives specifically and also in the world. You have been so good to us time and time again. Help us to be faithful in the waiting and live by your timetable and not ours. Show us how to empty ourselves to fill with more of you. Thank you for teaching us how to serve by your saving grace. Your providence reveals your infinite wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. To you be all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.